to it that separates the kind of people we attract. And these handy mags, they attract.
To SER's Arts and Culture Show.
Don't make me say it's so hot right now.
Tan caliente ahora! Your weekly dose of arts and culture.
And all of that sort of stuff. It's that weird thing that they're classics because they're classics because they're classics, and then they become the classics and everyone wants to do the classics because they're classics.
He's amazing.
Well, you need a lot of room for all that blood.
And he's hot as a firecracker.
You're listening to So Hot Right Now. You better not use me saying that.
Amazing babes.
On 2SER 107.3.
So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture with myself, Nicole Beck. It is 11 a.m. on your Saturday morning and I will be here with you until midday talking about all things happening around Sydney. But before we get started, I would like to acknowledge the Gadigal people who are the traditional custodians of this land from which we are broadcasting. I would also like to pay my respect to elders past, present and emerging of the Eora Nation. So on today's show, in that vein, we are talking about Terra Inferma, which is a new year-long exhibition and kind of program, performance program happening at Blacktown Arts Centre. There's a few different really amazing artists involved, and we're speaking to Vanessa Possum about her work in that show and what we can expect from that. It's interestingly coinciding with this year being the 250th anniversary of Cook's arrival in Australia. So it's kind of, I suppose, a counter narrative to that pretty heinous narrative that we have literally circling around the country this year. So that's coming up. I'm excited to get into that a little bit later on. We've got our fortnightly comedy segment, I Woke Up Like This. This week we're hearing from Sarah Gold, Jacinta Gregory, Juliet Timmerman and Chris Ryan. A lot of comedians on this week, so that's a little bit interesting and exciting. But first up, we are talking about how we care for, protect and fight for our great land. We're chatting about Her Land Number 2, Our Land, an exhibition that responds to the question, how will women instigate positive change for our land? That is an exhibition we're talking about right around the corner. To get us a little bit warmed up, here is a track from Gregor out of Melbourne. This is Something Irrelevant. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
Perhaps better than anything relevant to you. The backs of my eyelids, they do this too. Perhaps better than anything relevant to you.
Real Estate returned with their new album, The Main Thing, delivering the band's most inspired set of songs to date. Featuring the single Paper Cup, the album shimmers with the lively guitar lines and self-satirizing lyrics Real Estate are known and loved for. The Main Thing, the new album from Real Estate, is out now on Domino, proud 2SER sponsors.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of arts and culture. And right there you had a track from Gregor, that's out of Melbourne, with Something Irrelevant, one of my favourite albums of the past few years. But right now we are kicking on with a little bit of content and some arts and culture stories, because that is what we're here to do, obviously. So we're talking about our land. And our land is all that we are. It sustains us, protects us, provides us with oxygen. However, the same land is something that we fight over, build upon, and pollute. So the question is, how will women instigate positive change for our land? This question has inspired all the works in group exhibition Her Land, number 2, Our Land. And I'm joined by the curator of this show, Freya Black, to tell us a little bit more about the exhibition. Good morning.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks for having me.
No problem. I'm really excited to get into this. So I think a good place to start is the context of the exhibition is in this like kind of phrase, our land, which is described not as a statement of ownership, but a call to action. So can you tell us a little bit more about your thinking there and what that term means to you?
Sure. So when I conceived of the exhibition last year in 2019, it was way before all the devastation that we've had with the fires, with flooding of recent, especially on the east coast of Australia. But it seemed to become more poignant and much more topical as, you know, December hit us and the skies were yellow, the skies were full of smoke, people couldn't go to work, people couldn't breathe. And it, I guess the context changed. We become so disconnected from the land when we're in the city, when we're, you know, not seeing the ocean, not seeing, you know, the great wide land out there. And basically I wanted to demonstrate to people that we are connected to this land. Maybe we're not Indigenous Australians, and so we're not connected in the same way that Indigenous communities are connected, but we live here, and this is the land that we breathe in. It sustains us, it feeds us, it looks after us. And so, you know, basically I wanted to show that women now can get out there and basically change things. Yeah.
And given the context of everything that has happened in the past year, what would you say are the main differences in both these exhibitions, kind of exploring similar things but in quite vastly different times within such a short time period?
Yeah, so our first exhibition in 2019 was In Search of a Female Utopia, Her Land Number 1. And it was asking women artists what they saw as the ideal in the future. In a feminist future, from the female perspective, from female experience. And because of what's happened recently, but even before that, you know, climate change isn't something that's new. We've been talking about it for a long time, talking, but, you know, we're yet to sort of do anything about it. We're at the point now where this is the decade where we need to do something about it. My interests, curatorially speaking, are with women artists, and I work for a women's organisation, and I want to promote the work of women artists who are passionate about the environment and about change.
I'm interested in the curatorial approach of asking a question. Is that something that you always do in your practice, or is that kind of specific to Her Land?
I guess it's specific for Her Land in this case because we have an open call submission, so we're not necessarily out there approaching particular artists who have, you know, climate change or environmentalism or ecofeminism as points in their practice. We're going at it from a really wide net. So asking a question and seeing what kind of answer comes back. And it's a sort of situation where there is no right answer. We're interested in what everyone's got to say. It's a big open discussion.
Having posed an open question and kind of awaited responses, were you surprised by the things that came back? Did you feel like it went in a direction that you weren't anticipating or that new things kind of came up?
I'm always surprised by people's proposals. We get so many interesting ideas and the works are so diverse and they come from really diverse backgrounds, the artists that we have in the show. They're not all from Australia originally. We do have a couple of international artists as well. So, and they're coming from all over Australia. So we get a whole mixed bag of things and it's really exciting. And that's what's so exciting, I guess, about the show and being able to experience these works and meet a lot of these artists as well.
So let's get into it. Who is showing work and what kind of works are there? What mediums? Give us like a general kind of overview of what we can expect.
Okay, so we've got, you know, a real mix. We've got sculptural works. We've got Anna Legg, who is I think she's in third year at the moment at National Art School. And she's got works that are casts of a wall, of rubbish and plastic and things like that. We've also got works by really established artists like Rox DeLuca, who works with found plastics from the beach and creates these amazing sculptural installations that hang. We've got print works and there's paintings as well. One of our volunteers at the library, Hilary Monkton, she's from Tennant Creek originally, and we've got some of her beautiful drawings of Tennant Creek and of a mine site as well. So it's a really diverse mix of work in the show, which is really nice to see.
And I get the sense that, I guess, given the context of the exhibition, posing a question and having that kind of like active voice and a kind of element of call to action, I'm interested to know how that kind of manifests in the works and like the kind of general feel of the exhibition. Does it feel like kind of like an inspiring kind of like moving, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than like a meditative or like a reflection.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what's great about the diversity of practice that we've got in the show. And some works are really activist works. Like you could see them on a placard at a climate change rally. You know, some of them are less overt in their activism, but it's not that they're any less relevant. It's just a different type of work, I suppose. But there are quite a few works in there that are really, you know, we're on radio right now, but you can see a woman standing with her fist up in outrage. So, yeah.
And also, I think it's important to mention the setting and the location of this exhibition, which is the Women's Library. Can you shed a little bit of light on that?
Sure.
Location?
So,
yeah.
The Women's Library in Newtown. We're a women's organisation. We've been around for over 21 years now. We are behind Newtown Library. So a lot of people don't know where we are, but for everyone listening, that's where we are. And we have a specialist collection of feminist and lesbian literature. We're a membership library, so we exist off the donations of our members and we receive generous funding from the City of Sydney. And we also open our space after hours for community and social groups for women and lesbian organisations, and we also have book launches and events such as Herland.
Awesome. And so obviously this show is about women and it's in the Women's Library and that's a pretty obvious connection. But outside of that, why is it kind of important to focus on the nexus between like women and land and the kind of climate crisis, and what does that kind of intersection mean for you?
Well, there's a whole range of reasons. I think I don't want to reduce women to the kind of nurturing or motherhood or anything like that, which is sometimes what ecofeminism has been attributed to or sort of, you know, criticised as being essentialist. But we exist in this world, women exist in this world, and a lot of the ecological destruction that has happened in this world has been through industry, through, I guess, male-dominated industry. And, you know, basically connecting women in this way means that we're saying that we don't want to stand for this anymore. We're not excluding anyone from our activism but we're standing up and we're saying, look, our world is polluted, the climate is changing, it's getting warmer, our country is on fire, our seas are getting warmer, our barrier reef is dying, and we won't stand for it anymore. So basically that's how I connect it personally, but the artists and other people at the Women's Library as well will also interpret it in different ways, and I think that's really important, that we all have our own idea.
And how are you hoping audiences and viewers interact with the show? What would you kind of like people to take away from Her Land?
If it stirs that, you know, post-depressing summer kind of despondent vibe that you've got in your stomach right now, which is, you know, being shared by a lot of people, if it stirs you to action, if it makes you change your mind and you decide that you want to put some time and effort into helping organisations in Australia with, you know, say wildlife organisations, environmental organisations, getting up there and telling our government that we want change, that we need to acknowledge that climate change is a real thing, it's a reality, it's happening around us, then I think that's where we want to go with it. But also, I really just want to put out the work of women, you know. I want women artists to be represented and supported, and I want them to be out there in the world, you know. I really want to turn around that 2019 Countess report and get
yes.
women artists out there even more. So
totally.
That's the best thing.
Both two great causes. Well, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, Freya.
Thank you so much for having me.
No worries. So we've just been speaking with Freya Black about Her Land to Our Land. This exhibition is showing at the Women's Library, which is behind the Newtown Library. For those of you who don't know, it opens on March 8th and is showing until April 4th. And it's free to check out. You can also become a member of the library and get involved in that community. We'll put all the details up on our show page. If you just look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website, you can find them there. I'm going to play a song now from Japanese band Fishmans. This is Baby Blue. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now. Thank you.
Detroit techno royalty Robert Hood brings his blistering DJ set to the studio at Sydney Opera House this March. Considered the minimal techno trailblazer with an emphasis on soul and experimentation, get set for a Detroit dance odyssey like no other. Book now for Robert Hood, Friday, March 6th at sydneyoperahouse.com. Two SER sponsors.
Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, your weekly dose of all things arts and culture. If you missed that last chat there, I was talking all about Herland Number 2, which is an exhibition happening at the Women's Library in Newtown, which I was just talking with my producer Maddie about. We didn't even know existed. It's an entirely female-run and female-only literature and lesbian literature library, which sounds really amazing. It's just behind Newtown Library, so be sure to check that out. Opens March 8th. And if you want to listen back to the chat, you can head to So Hot Right Now on the 2SER website and find all the relevant information there. Coming up right around the corner is our fortnightly comedy segment, I Woke Up Like This. To get us there, I'm just going to play one more track. This is Part Time with It's All Right With Me. beautiful track there from Part Time. That is It's All Right With Me off that album, Spell Number 6. Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now, talking all things arts and culture until midday. And right now it is time for our fortnightly comedy segment. This one comes to you from Sarah Gall, Jacinta Gregory, Juliet Timmerman and Chris Ryan. Here we go.
Yeah, Zach's gonna pass out, so we gotta do this quick.
We can't wear our flats to a place like Bar Broadway.
Do the bit.
Ass like a ballet dancer.
We're already in the desert of the cancelled people, man.
Oh, my nippies!
I just feel like shit. Yeah.
What? How do you feel?
Yeah, and I was like running, so I was just like...
Remember the guy who created the ShamWow?
Hey, just as one quick question, Devil. What is the greatest trick you've ever pulled?
Hubba, hubba.
Objection.
I won't object to that.
I woke up like this.
Did you get your hair cut?
No.
I hate it.
Oh, God, yeah. I don't know why they did this to me.
Who uses hair gel?
I told them I wanted to look like a cutie pie.
Did you tell them you want to look like a bowl?
Yeah, I don't. Well, yeah, I guess that's what they
look
went
like
for.
A ceramic bowl.
All right.
Oh,
bring it in, everyone. Let's kick off. Hope you brought your thinking fedoras because we are open for business. Now, what films are we going to add to the slate in 2021, huh? Like, I want innovation. I want newness. I want fresh. Come on. Blow me away.
Great. I will jump in straight off the bat here. I've been working with the author of, you know, the novel Tell Me Lies.
Absolutely. It's a fantastic novel, the best of our generation.
I literally just cry looking at the cover. Anyway, so if you haven't read it, it's an incredibly raw, moving, just never before told story about, it's about two men.
I'll stop you there, Peter. I'm only interested in reboots.
Oh, sorry. I just thought you said you wanted fresh.
Yeah, I do. I want minty fresh. I want so fresh hits of summer 2009, you know, like, what do you got?
Okay, well, this is kind of perfect. So one of my projects is a reboot of The Godfather.
I'm listening.
Okay, but climate change has taken over this small Italian village, okay? And instead of The Godfather,
sorry,
he's climate.
Just clarifying again, I mean, I thought this was obvious.
Oh.
I'm only interested in reboots with a feminist bent. They're the only things that are selling at the moment, like this, all that we want to see, you know, and we need successful male movies rebooted to save feminism.
Doesn't seem like it would save feminism. It seems kind of limiting.
I'm lost.
Sorry, where did I ask you?
I apologise for speaking out of turn.
So last year we only did action films starring Ryan Reynolds. We all know this.
Mm-hmm.
And we made like 8 of them, okay? So the feedback is we need to diversify.
Yeah, perfect. I will jump in here. If you guys could direct your attention to my PowerPoint, I've got a reboot of E.T., where E.T. is actually just a girl from a different high school who has to be accepted by peers at a new school. Get this, it's called Phone Home. We already have Ariana Grande, Ben Lee and MC Hammer interested in collaborating on the film's main anthem.
Thanks, Joe, but that sounds fucking awful. Look, I want gritty, okay? I want dark. I want garbage in the streets.
The Joker.
Just spew and dog shit everywhere. You know, I want...
You want the Joker.
Kristen Stewart with a haircut.
I like the Joker.
Okay, I think this is the one. So we all love the movie Fight Club, right? Okay?
Do we?
Yes, we love it. We love it. So Kristen Stewart is Brad Pitt, okay? Now, instead of them using their fists, yuck, patriarchy, male, blah, makes me want to vomit, instead they use pillows. Okay? And instead of them getting up in each other's grills, saying all these mean things, they kiss each other a little bit.
Yeah, okay, I like that. How else are we going to get straight guys to watch the film?
Exactly.
Okay, well, just jumping off the back of that terrible idea, I've actually got... This is amazing. This is a reboot of Gone with the Wind. It's set in the year 2080, and there's actually no wind at all. And Kristen Stewart plays both Scarlet and Red, and okay. I'm convinced she's going to win the Oscar for both.
That could sell.
See, women need to see themselves represented on screen, right? Otherwise they get scared, they get anxious, they get a little faint. What about a Gladiator reboot set in an abandoned apartment block in Detroit? Kristen Stewart plays the role of Maximus.
Okay, jumping off the back of what was the worst idea I've ever heard in my life, I wish I was dead, what about The Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, set in New York Fashion Week, okay? And Kristen Stewart is a down-and-out gal. She's looking for love, and also she plays the ring, and the ring has lipstick on it.
Well, I wish I could forget that idea ever existed, but what about a gritty reboot of 2001 A Space Odyssey, and Kristen Stewart plays the role of the Space Odyssey?
So I've been thinking okay, that she looks so a lot like the Saddle Club.
It's the Saddle Club, and then you're growing up, and
there's no woman over 20 should even exist.
So they're going out to war on horses.
Oh my God, wait, oh my God. Oh my God, I've got it. Guys, I've got it. Okay, so why didn't I think of this before? It's a remake of Jaws, right, where Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kristen Stewart have to save a small coastal town from a shark that is terrorizing the coast.
I'm crying.
I'm numb. I've left my body.
Wow. Okay, only if we can get Kristen Stewart to play the shark.
Absolutely.
A fuckable shark, though.
Of course.
Mm. Oh, my God. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. G'day, everyone. My name's Sarah Gall.
My name's Jacinta Gregory.
I'm Chris Ryan.
I'm Juliet Timmerman.
Oh, my God.
And baby.
Oh, my God. No, you're not. And we, I don't even, what, like,
there
what?
Is no we. You wrote a script. Come on.
Okay, so
there's no iron script.
But there is, though.
Oh, my God, read a fucking book. No, so I wrote the original version of this, and then we got together in Starbucks, just the four of us. Who's Miranda? Who's Miranda?
Oh, my God.
You are Jacinta.
Oh, am I Miranda?
Yeah.
Why is this? I'm cynical.
You're Jacintical. What?
Okay.
So I wrote this a little while back because I have, like, a morbid fascination with monetizing feminism, which, you know, we all want to see a feminist film. Did we need Charlie's Angels? I don't know.
Did we need Ocean's 8? It's just more that, like, it's the... You're always worried about narrative products that market themselves as the most important female film of the year. Or, like, they're like, it's all women, like, as if that's some sort of selling point when the selling point should be a good story.
Yeah. Like, one of the things that I'm also obsessed with, which is probably quite obvious in this script, is, like, really unnecessary reboots of films that are, like, 10 years old.
Yeah, 100%. That's the 100%.
Thing. It's like there are so many amazing storytellers and stories and writers, you know, femme and otherwise. I think original stories can be a thing.
And, like, you can have an all-female cast without it being a female version of a male cast. Like, that's why Girls Trip was so good, because it was, like, all-female original story.
Bridesmaids.
Bridesmaids.
Yeah. Incredible. Bridesmaids, it's not based off anything. Yeah, it's just, like, the funniest women in the world being funny. Yeah.
Totally.
I woke up like this.
Right there, you heard from Sarah Gall, Jacinta Gregory, Juliet Timmerman and Chris Ryan for our fortnightly segment, I Woke Up Like This. If you want to get a little bit more details about those comedians and where you can follow them and all that kind of stuff, just look for the I Woke Up Like This pod on Instagram, or you can listen back on Spotify. It's just uploaded as, like, its own little segment there. And, yeah, you can find that all there, or just look for So Hot Right Now on the 2SR website. We'll put a little bit more information about that there as well. So up next, we are chatting about exhibition and performance program Terra Informa that examines the ongoing effects of Cook Settlement on the Darug peoples and communities from our Asia-Pacific region, specifically residing in Blacktown. Stay with us. I'll be joined by one of the artists on that program to tell us a little bit more about how that all works. To get us there, here is a track from Ella Harbour out of Sydney. This is Clay. You are tuned into So Hot Right Now.
It always felt so nice when you cannot resist. I never dared think twice. I could not let the opportunity be missed. I pacify reality with stupid fantasies that you would stick around. Expectations down. And when I ask why I can't call you mine, you appear
the same old shit saying it's a bad time. Do you know how much it stings when you say the future is so far away? Let's just take things day by day. With ravenous desire. It stings when you say the future is so far away. Let's just take things day by day. I no longer love you that way, but let's just have some fun, okay? And with those brutal words you'd say, you mold me like a piece of clay.
A beautiful track there from Ella Haber. That is Clay off her album Clay. A beautiful small little EP. I would highly recommend checking it out. Hello and welcome back to So Hot Right Now. Right now we are talking about Terra Infirma. So this year marks the 250th anniversary of James Cook's arrival in Botany Bay, which we all know is being a bit overly celebrated by our government in quite an exclusionary way. However, Blacktown Arts presents a counter-narrative, instead revealing knowledge about the region and its wider cultural histories. Through personal journeys, intimate artworks and shared experiences, exhibition and performance program Terra Infirma presents Cook's arrival as an act of transgression, offering perspectives beyond the legacy of European expansionism. I'm joined now on the line by one of the featured artists in the exhibition, Vanessa Possum, to tell us a little bit more about her work and what we can expect. Good morning.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Great, thanks. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
You're very welcome.
So I thought a good place to start would be if you could just tell us a little bit more about the program, how the program works, because I've read that it goes for a year and it's also an exhibition but performance. So could you just give us a little bit of a rundown perhaps?
Yeah, sure. The curators, Paul Howard, Blacktown Arts, and his team have selected a wide variety of artists from the region and foregrounding a Darug voice, which is really impressive, I think. And so they're running it in two sections, the first half of the year with half of the artists and the second half of the year with the other half of the artists, so that the works can be seen. There's plenty of time for people, and it's also making a note of that whole 12 months of that 250 years theme that is running through 2020. That also is really quite a big thing in relation to the 22nd Biennale of Sydney as well, and probably a lot of other shows that will occur this year.
And so the work you're presenting for this exhibition explores Murara, which means pathways, and the importance of water as a sustenance for generations of First Nations people. Can you just tell us a little bit about more about the like kind of conceptual grounding of your work in this exploration?
Yeah, sure. So Murara, meaning pathways, would be in the colonial translation that, you know, the scribes of, that wrote, tried to write down our oral communication described it as pathways. I expand that idea because I truly believe that our Aboriginal Darug languages are very philosophical, and so for me, pathways presents notions of pathways through country, pathways as rivers, pathways as emotional pathways and knowledge pathways. You know, I'm just exploring this concept, and it's just presenting a lot of different ideas for me. So for this work, I really wanted to focus on doing a large mapping of country to show the a different view of pathways, I guess.
And how does this mapping visually manifest? What does your work look like?
Yeah, sure. So what I've done is for the last couple of years, I've been collecting what I would call a contemporary archive of Irish linen tea towels. So the sorts of tea towels that are very stereotypical of places and people. And the reason I chose those initially was because I also, as a Darug woman, have Irish heritage from the colonial period, from the point of contact when my Irish convict ancestor married my Aboriginal great-grandmothers. So it was, for me, a material culture that is part of my story, and I was just interested in how such a beautiful material culture was utilised for these quite strange, you know, objects of tourism, and how those messages, you know, people take home with them after a holiday are so limited, a bit like what I'm talking about with the Murara, you know, the limited view of things that, that people have through this sort of colonisation of places. So the collection grew and grew, and then in 2019 I was contacted by Paul Howard at Blacktown Arts and asked if I would be interested in being a commissioned artist for Terra and Firma. And so I knew exactly that this would be the perfect time for me to develop a work on these with these tea towels. Aside from that, I work culturally in possum cloak making and, you know, community events and ceremony and things that we do in the Darug country. I've learned a lot of skills about cloak making. So one of the things I decided to do was to stitch all the, these tea towels together using a traditional bimba banga stitch, which is also known as herringbone in English, and just to see, you know, where that led me. And so I guess my work is, it's process-based. So, you know, one thing at a time, I was meditating as I was stitching these things together and thinking about what this meant, this huge sort of cloak or tapestry. And then I started to see it as a from a topographical perspective, and decided that I wanted to work over the top of these to sort of break down that colonial grid with my own material culture. So I used a bloodwood ink that I make from the resin from the bloodwood tree, and I did a large scale mapping of all of the waterways throughout Darug country from the mountains to the sea, including, you know, the Nepean and the Georges and the Hawkesbury and other tributaries from those main river systems that we called Darubbin. And then that, you know, that was sort of great, a great process. And then from there, I just decided that I would go over it again with another layer of white ochre and do a completely different type of mapping, which is a diagonal crisscross across the whole surface, which is the Murara. So this Murara, it overlays this colonial grid, and it's a Murara of connectedness between people. So the lines going across, they're not dividing country. They're unifying country. Does that visually make sense?
Yeah.
If you can sort of try and picture that. So, yeah, the whole work turned out to be quite tactile and organic. So hopefully I've described it.
Yeah. It's an incredible process. There's so many different stages, and it's a really particularly interesting use of kind of archival material from a materiality kind of sense, using the tea towels. What was your experience like in gathering all that? Like, I feel like you had to travel everywhere to get all that paraphernalia. What was that like?
Yeah, it was quite good fun, actually, because I love op shopping, and I recently got my mother addicted to op shopping, and her best friend Wendy, and that, so there was these three women sort of going out and coming back, and Mum was ringing me and saying, I just got a tea towel that says, you know, it's a calendar of with Aboriginal art on it, and you know, she's getting all excited, or, you know, I got one here, it's not pure linen, is it good enough, you know, like this sort of thing. So it was, and then, you know, the first thing I would do when I walked into an op shop is I'd get that sort of, you know, Christmas Eve excitement. Am I going to find a tea towel in here? So, you know, it took a while, but the whole thing was really great, you know, just being on that mission, not really knowing why either, you know, just deciding that I wanted to collect these objects and, you know, almost like, I sometimes feel like the plan is already there, but you don't know it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's sort of happening somewhere in the back of your brain.
Yeah, yeah. And also sort of a bit of a guidance, and like an ancestral guidance towards things that you might not really fully understand at the time. So, yeah, it was pretty amazing.
Such an insane story, just the progression of how the work developed. Yeah, it sounds so organic and just wow. I'm interested to know, like, how you think your work kind of fits into creating a counter narrative to the whole Cook arrival thing that Terra Infirma is kind of antagonizing. What do you think, what role does your work specifically play in this exhibition?
Yes, I think there's a lot of different meanings in the work, and even I'm still discovering some of them, you know, the connotations are sort of popping up, and I'm going, oh yeah, I hadn't really thought about that. Just remind me to talk a little bit about museum, decolonizing museums too at the end if I forget.
Yes,
I feel very strongly about presenting on behalf of my community, my people, the Darug people, in this time where my ancestry, you know, in from the Darug perspective is coastal as well as mountain, so it's fresh and salt water. So for me, I just wanted, really felt like this is an opportunity to put forward a narrative about the way all Darug people would have been so wonderfully connected before colonisation in the early period there, where we were sort of scattered. You know, the terrible thing was sort of fight or flight or disease. So the early impact in Darug people has sort of led to a position where we're not really identified. It's a bit like the myth of the extinct Palawa Tasmanian peoples. Darug peoples have been scattered. So coming back into country and working culturally with my beautiful people, I just felt like it was just a great opportunity for me to sort of show that there is a potential for connectedness, for us to reconnect and to abolish this sort of conquer and divide thing that has happened through colonisation, through our country being gridded up, you know, land grants and sectioned off and categorisations of people as one thing or another, you know. You're not from here. That sort of really negative stuff that stops Aboriginal people from succeeding as a group. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I just think that we need to come together. Everybody has a story, and in this work, I really wanted to put forward this concept of connectedness through the Marura as a spiritual, emotional, philosophical, and Noora country-based pathways. So we can see our whole area of country connected as people. Like white ochre is very symbolic for us, for all Aboriginal people, as body paint and a ceremony. And so the white ochre does present the body. And so for me to do this big cross, crosses over the colonial grid with this painting of white ochre, which is the Darug body, it, I just feel like it's a really meaningful statement to make at this time. So that was my motivation. I have remembered to say that in the process of making, I work outdoors. I don't have a traditional studio as such. I am breaking with that convention. I'm doing my PhD, so it's something that I'm really, I has been building in my practice for a long time, so I'm really focusing on it now. And so the majority of this work was made in a bushland setting. And then the problem for me then was, how do I bring my work into a gallery? Because as we know with colonisation, a lot of our artefacts are really decontextualised when they're put into a museum space. They become inactive. They're not really informing people that can't really engage with the culture the way they would if they went to one of our gatherings and, made some objects together with us, or, that weavings or whatever that happen organically with other people. So I was concerned that making art and making my art in the bush, and how would I exhibit that in a gallery? Would it lose its meaning or value? And I have been trying to exhibit most of my work, all of my work, as close as possible to the place where I made it. But in this case, with Blacktown Arts Project, it was really wonderful because I flew down. I'm just up in Bundjalung country at the moment. I'd like to acknowledge that. I flew down to Blacktown last Monday to do the install, and I worked with the wonderful team there, and we developed the work even further together. So it was made in situation to country, but then also developed in situation to the gallery as a cultural space. So that was a really another interesting process in this work that I hadn't really thought through at the beginning, or even when I finished the work. It wasn't until I got into that space that I realised the conversations that were happening around the installation of the work on the floor, and the need for me to do more painting on the work and things like that with other people around, and conversations that we had about the work was really organic. And I think it's a good example of how we can decolonize museum spaces.
Yeah, and I think that's something that is extremely important, especially at the moment, and especially given the context of everything that's happening. And I think that's what, Taryn Filmer really draws attention to, as well as your own work. That's about all we have time for. It's almost 12 o'clock, but thank you so much for shedding so much light on your work and your amazing process in creating what you have for Terra and Femme. It was really amazing to listen to you.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk.
No problem. So you just heard from Vanessa Possum filling us in on Terra Inferma, which is an exhibition and performance program broadening our knowledge about the arrival of Captain Cook and the impact on the Dorogong people. The exhibition kicks off on the 5th of March and is totally free. And it kind of goes on for almost a whole year with a different kind of flow of artists in the second half of the year. So be sure to head to Blacktown Arts Centre to check that out. It is pretty much time for me to go, so I'm going to say goodbye and leave you with this track from Ravina. This is Petal. I will see you all next week. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I feel like a petal floating in the breeze. When I feel like a speck inside.
an endless field. I will.